Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We'll be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. Well, welcome back, everyone. It's been quite a fall here in 2020. Lots of things going on, and all the way through to 2022. I can't even believe it. So the last 3 years have gone by really fast. And we were joking earlier with a person I was speaking with around, you know, we called it the COVID year. And you were talking about 2020 to 2022, and we're rounding out this year. I'm here with Joanna Hanks, and Joanna's based in Brisbane, Australia. So good morning. It's my late afternoon. Very much a pleasure to have you here with us. Jo is a principal at Resource Strategies. Jo, welcome.
Welcome. Yes, good afternoon to you.
I know. We can just say good day. I do that a lot. Yes. I just say good day because everyone's all over the world. Tell me a little bit about, let's just start out with Resource Strategies. Tell me a little bit about size, what you do, who your customers are, and let's get a little bit of an understanding around Resource Strategies.
Yeah, certainly. So the company celebrated its 25 years earlier in the year. So what we do is we work with clients, which are usually people that want to build sort of complex projects, be they mines or renewable projects or infrastructure. And we work with them to navigate the environmental legislation and systems. So work with them to come up with solutions to manage environmental impacts and communicate that to the community and to regulators.
If you had to give me an example without maybe giving away a customer name, or if you can, give me an example of, like, say, a big project that you would work on.
So we, like, for example, mining projects, we work across like a number of commodities, but these are projects that employ sort of 600 people, huge. Thousands of hectares. They're huge. I mean, you're Canadian, so I know you have big mines in Canada as well. So, you know, I've always really enjoyed it. We've got a team of about 40, which I think is a great size because, you know, everyone's name. And yes. It's very much, for us, it's a team effort. We work on projects that go for sort of 3 to 4 years. And there's a massive sense of achievement that you have when you, you know, complete a project after right. that sort of period
especially of time and yeah. size.
Yeah.
So tell me about a little bit about yourself, but how did you get into this? Give us a little feedback on your journey to where you are now within Resource Strategies.
Yes, certainly. It wasn't like a long-term plan of mine. I sort of fell into it a little bit, but I don't regret it at all. I did engineering at university, environmental engineering, yeah. and I actually started working at the company when I was still a university student. So I guess I've been there for my whole career. So I've gone up from doing sort of word processing and admin tasks as a work experience student
yes.
Right the way up to my current position. So I did engineering.
What year did you start working with Resource Strategies?
2006.
2006. So, okay, good. And then started like in university. I'll let you carry on.
Yep. So I worked there. So come up through, I guess, a technical pathway. I did a master's of project management while I was working full time. And I guess that really opened my eyes to much more management theory and just opened my eyes to like lifelong learning in terms of that space. And that's when I really started, you know, evolving in the management side of things as well. And then I guess my former boss came to me and said that he thought I was, you know, the right person to take on the role, and he had yes. to do a bit of convincing. And there was a couple of, you know, my people that I'm close to and mentors that encouraged me to take the leap. And so I came back from maternity leave in 2020 with it.
Oh, I didn't have that piece of information. Amazing.
Yes. With and went into the role. And so Ian, who is, you know, is our business coach, he gave me the book, The First 90 Days, which I think was transformational for that period for me in terms of the transition into the role.
Amazing. So I think I missed that piece of information that you came off maternity leave. You actually came into the role, I think you said March 2020. Is that
That's right?
Okay, so everyone listening, March 2020, that's why I was joking, and not really joking, but 2020 to 2022, for a lot of leaders and a lot of people just in general, it's a blur, right? It's a blur. And on top of it, you know, I know you were, you know, a new mom, right? So that all goes together. You had a metronomics coach, Ian Judson, working with you, and you read the book and you're starting off on that journey.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about 2020, because March 2020 for most companies, most leaders, was quite a time.
It was. I guess it probably was one of the most stressful times in my life. I won't sugarcoat that, but I certainly learned a lot. And it forced me to make fast decisions and forced me to take the lead. So there was probably some good aspects of that. You know, I was on a pretty steep learning curve. We were very fortunate that our business wasn't particularly affected either way, but there was still a lot of uncertainty and unknowns. And I guess navigating the transition to remote working was a challenge in itself.
Yes. When we think of March 2020, what were, you know, and you've come into this role and we're on the edge of a pandemic that no one thought would last this long. What were your big, sort of your big priorities of that time? Not only getting into the role, but for the company, and we've got a global pandemic going on. What were those big things that were on your mind that you're like, okay, these are the things we've got to get done?
Yeah. So we had three big projects, I guess, due in the 12 months after that. So for us, it was about, you know, getting those sorted. And then it was really, when I came in, I was looking for a sustaining success model. You know, I was filling some big shoes. And it was also then about, I guess, transitioning a lot of relationships. Like, we'd obviously been in the company, but there were still some key relationships that needed to be transitioned. So that was a big priority for us. And then that's obviously harder when it's difficult to do face-to-face. So it's coming up with novel ways to do that.
And coming into this role, and the person you succeeded, you know, went out and got support for you to step into this role. When you've now been in the role for 2.5 years, if I say that correctly, about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Did you feel, and when you started the role, that you had something to prove? Did you feel like, or did you have full support when you went into that role?
Well, I think you always, whether it's external or internal, feel like you have something to prove.
Yeah.
And I think for me, there was always, you know, and a lot of people gave me this advice as well, is when you're coming into a successful business and you're following someone who has been a very successful leader and a mentor of mine, you do also have to realize that you're different people. And you can't be that person. You're not the same person. Like, you have to find your own authentic style in a way that can sustain the business. And so
how did you work through that process? Because what you just said is like right on the money, right? So how did you, you know, you've got a leadership team. There's other leaders there, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you have a leadership team. What were some of the things that you had, like that you did within your own style that would have been different than who you succeeded?
I'm probably more communicative. I like to like verbalize and bounce my ideas off people. I do try to reach consensus, although I think COVID was good in enforcing me that sometimes you don't have the time to reach consensus.
Yes.
Nor should you. So I think that was probably good on my journey. I think motherhood has made me a better leader as well, because definitely you need to, one of the things I've had to learn over my journey is delegating and stepping back, taking that higher level. And so when you have less time, you're just forced into that. And I also think in some ways, my maternity leave was a good circuit breaker, in that I was coming back in a new role with a break. And so it was easy to step in and say, well, this is what I'm doing now. And I can't be so much over the detail of the technical side anymore.
Right. Was that planned, that timing planned before you went on mat leave?
No.
No. Interesting. Yeah, really, really interesting. Because, you know, like, because then, you know, you're doing what you're doing, you go on mat leave. In Australia, how long is mat leave?
Ultimately, I took 6 months. So it's, Some of that was unpaid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you took the break, right? Almost cut the ties with the operational and came back in that leadership position. When you think about, okay, so great news is you were working with a Metronomics coach, Ian Judson, right? The team was working even before you came into that role. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So I guess there was always this plan that there was going to be a succession to a new leadership team, and certainly I should mention that the four of us work very closely together.
Yes.
But in terms of me taking on some of that head of company role, that was something that came about while I was on leave. Yeah.
And so when you came back in, like there's a cadence with Metronomics, and there's that repeatable playbook. There's a formula that we follow, and the team was already doing it for probably approximate a year before you stepped in as leader of the team, managing director of the team, and, you know, business coach as a CEO plus leadership team coach. What were the things when we think of Metronomics and we think of working through this process, what were the things that went really well? What were the things that didn't go so well?
Well, I think because we come from a project management background, we always go well on the execution side. And I think we're very prone to jump to execution.
Yes.
But what I did love about the system is that it gives us like a common language to talk about. So, you know, things like the core customer or your key differentiators. You know, when you've got a team, it's good to all be, you know, talking from the same playbook.
Yeah. So when we think of March 2020, and then, you know, I think of my clients in 2020, and some of the things we did was like get back to basics, you know, get focused on, you know, your cash flow, okay, your execution. And then, you know, we got back to strategy. But so 2020 was like, let's get the foundation back under us. Some of us took longer, depending on what industries we're in. Others didn't, right? And then, you know, I think of 2021, and now we're at the end of 2022. But I would imagine what I know about the timing of Australian businesses, you're in your fiscal 2023 year.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So when we think about that, did your strategy change much, evolve much from 2020? To fiscal 2023, were there lots of things that we had to do, or was it really like, this is what we do, this is how we do it, it still matters to our core customer? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the second one. It was really diving down, what is it that makes us different? Yeah. Why are we successful? And what can we do to make sure we continue to sustain those differentiators? How can we, and particularly at the moment in Australia, there's a huge demand for the people that we employ, for engineers, for scientists, for highly technical people. So it's about how can we really create that value proposition for our clients and for our staff?
Yeah. What was the toughest discussions over when I think of, and, you know, I've talked to lots of people, 2020, 2021, 2022, lots of needs of our core customers out there have been evolving within the environment we're playing. And, you know, our strategy is founded on that. And, you know, there's other external environmental factors that we have today as well that's putting pressure, not just the pandemic, but, you know, our consequence of the pandemic and a few other things internationally. What were the things that you probably had to dig in the hardest, or that you weren't sure of, or you needed the most, you know, team discussions on as you worked through your strategy?
I think often it's, you know, we're in a fortunate position sometimes where we have to choose which projects to go for. And so that's always a hard discussion, particularly because sometimes in the team, one of us might have a particular like emotional attachment to something. And so, you know, it's the discussions about which ones to go for it and which ones we can't, you know, resource and still maintain the same quality that we try to deliver. They're always probably the most difficult discussions.
Yes, for sure. And it's a discussion, right? It's a way for us to get collaborative and work it out to figure out where everyone's coming from. when you think about your current, the current market, the current situation the company's in, what are your biggest challenges you have that you're looking out and you're thinking about in your current fiscal year?
Certainly for us at the moment, it's definitely resourcing. So making sure we have the right mix of staff, making sure that we're coaching them to reach their full potential and that people are on the right projects for them, like so for their development. Yeah.
Since you've been in that role, what's one thing great that happened that you didn't necessarily expect would be the outcome?
Oh, it's a tricky one.
I think you're planners.
Yeah.
You're like, what? We plan every outcome.
Exactly. I think I didn't expect to be as rewarded as I have, feel as rewarded as I have, you know, moving away from the technical side and into the management side. I certainly enjoy it a lot more than I thought I would. And I also think it's been fantastic. The thing I am very happy about is, I guess, the cohesion that we have within the leadership team for us.
Oh,
that's always been like, unless the leadership team has cohesion, the fish rots from the head down. Mm. So for me, that's always like, if anything's going wrong or if there's uncertainty, you got to come back to, do we have a cohesive leadership team? Are we on the same page? And then that's your foundation to build out from there.
Right. What's the most important lesson or significant lesson you've learned since taking on the leadership role?
I think in terms of the two is, one, just be your authentic self. Like you can't be someone else. So you have to lead within a way that is comfortable for you and aligns with your values. And secondly, I guess, as a leader and a mum, somehow you have to find time to look after yourself, because if I'm not looking after myself, then I can't look after my family and I can't look after the business. And that's a hard lesson, and I don't know if I've learned it yet.
Yeah, sometimes you're still challenged with that. I can relate to that, absolutely. At what time of day do you get your best work done?
I definitely think that has changed over my career, like where I have done my best work. I think there's a golden hour in first thing in the morning that I love. Like when you first get in the office, if you can get a solid hour of focus time in before you get interrupted with conversations or other things, it's just peak productivity. And then I am a bit prone to getting some work in the evenings if I can. I think I try to make the most of my time in the office for conversations and making sure there's alignment in the team. And then I guess sometimes I use those windows on either side just to get some good focus on something that might take a bit longer. I'm not sure if that's what you do, Shannon.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, in a leadership position, you're there for the team, right? And you're there. That's why I asked that question, is when do you get your best work done? Because a lot of leaders will say either really early in the morning, first thing in the morning, or really late at night, right? And but when we think about leading a team, we're there to support the team and get the best we can out of the team that's there.
I think you're right.
With us.
Yeah, it's easy to fall in the trap of thinking that isn't work, but that is work. And that's probably actually your primary task.
Yeah. And I always when I see companies grow through the Metronomics system and they get the foundation under and then they gain some momentum and then they keep on going through the into the compounding stage, it's interesting to watch the leaders of the organizations evolve too. It's, a lot less maybe player coach, even though you love doing some of that, and becoming more of that leader coach and really worrying about making sure the team can be the best team, own the roles, trust and verify and all those good things, right? So that we can get to the point where, we're not sneaking in those hours in the morning and evening, because, we want to find balance, right? Yeah. We want to find that balance. And as we continue to grow our team and our company, and we continue to grow our lives, right? They can come in conflict. right? And we're just trying to do, I always find we're just trying to do the best for the team. And so when I'm in the office in the day, if I'm in a leadership position, I'm there for the team, you know, door wide open, and you don't get much done through the day that you're trying to get done, actually. It's pretty interesting, but you do have to find time. And I know lots of leaders are looking for those, you know, sneak in those time. I have to say, you know, with the environment we're playing in today, and, you know, thinking about resource strategies, are you in a hybrid framework? Are you all working from home? Are you back in office? What does that look like for your organization?
For our organization, we do have a bit of a hybrid model, but we're very much focused on in the office. I guess the work that we do is very much a team product.
Yep.
That's what I've always loved about the company as well, is I love teamwork and I just thrive off the energy that you have in a team. But also it can be so hard and inefficient to do that entirely from home. Like certainly there's some tasks that are good to do from home if you need that focus time, but nothing beats like four or five people sitting around a round table and just bashing out the solution to a problem in person. It's so hard to replicate.
Yeah, and I think we appreciate it more than ever, maybe because we didn't have that. We only had the virtual world to like brainstorm ideas, and now we have that opportunity. The reason I ask that is that, you know, lots of hybrid work environments out there now, and I've been talking to different leaders, and lots of them are taking advantage of the, you know, less commute, the lower commute time to the office. They're actually gaining some time on their own to think, right? Yeah. Even though they were thinking in the car, they actually can think in a really sort of organized way in their home office, at their desk, you know, whatever they are, to replace a commute. Because there's lots of good thinking that goes on with the commute. What's your sort of getaway? Well, I'm going to say like, your escape from family and escape from work. What do you do to sort of balance your mind out? Because those are things that, you know, lots of leaders have all kinds of different things they do.
Very poorly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not a great runner, but my husband is, and he's got me into running, and I just love that it's free, it's convenient, you can do it whenever you can fit it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a runner as well. I'm a runner as well. I love to run. And it's just like, it helps remove like all the things that are in your life, from, you know, home, things you're dealing with, and at work and team and all those great things. So let me go back, and I want to ask a couple questions about, you know, working with a coach, because not everybody works with a coach. Some people work with like an executive coach. Some people have a life coach. Some people are like a CEO coach or managing director coach. But, you know, the coach that you have is working with you and the team. When you came into the role, right, because you've come in and the coach is already there, what were you hoping as, you know, the leader of the team to actually get out of working with a coach, a metronomics coach?
I think Ian is really great at just keeping us accountable. Giving us guidance and distilling it down. He knows the business really well, and so it helps when you have someone that understands the business as well. And so he's a great, I guess he's the leadership team coach, and then I also have an executive coach, so two coaches, and it's nice to have the balance of the two. I think I heard one of your previous guests talk about sometimes when you're in that head of company role, it can be difficult sometimes to bounce some ideas off people. So it's always good to have people to bounce ideas off that are external, but also have that sort of business acumen and background that, you know, you can have a good conversation with.
Yeah. I love that you, because lots of my clients as well, I'm the business team coach, right? And they have an executive coach, or they have a CEO coach, or they have like a one-on-one coach, right? How long has that been in play, and what do you think the benefits are? Others would love to hear that, because a lot of people are surprised when I say, look, I'm the CEO plus leadership team coach. I do a great relationship with the leader of the business, and I do work with the whole team with them. But in some cases, my leaders, and not only the CEO, but lots of leaders on the team, have an individual coach as well. What do you think about the benefits, and what have you sort of gained from having both?
Well, certainly Ian was our business coach first. He does a fantastic job. I guess I was also, you know, when I came into the role, struggling with like the adjustment as you do with being a new mum. And so, you know, talking to Ian, talking to my former boss and a few other people, they really encouraged me to get an executive coach.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic because Ian really focuses on, in some ways, a lot of the hard stuff of the business, the mechanics, the strategy. Yeah. And then my executive coach, Lara, I guess, is more looking at how I am as a leader, how I'm growing as a leader and what I want to do as an individual. Right. And in some ways, it's good to have that compartmentalization, you know, as well.
Yeah, yeah. And like I usually chalk it up to, you know, I come from an athletic background and I usually chalk it up to there was like the head coach of the team. And I, as a player on a team, I would have a separate coach that might just coach, you know, my genre or my skill that I need for that team in that certain role to like one-on-one with me so I can grow at the speed the team is growing or the speed the company's growing and to take care of, because if you're in that role and you don't have that support that's looking out for you and making sure you grow with, the metronomics coach is there to make sure that you grow with the whole team and the team grows with the company.
Yeah. Well, that's you summarized it perfectly, Shanna. I think that's absolutely the benefits and what I've observed. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And not a lot. I see a lot of teams invest in one or the other. And do any other leaders on your team have an individual coach as well?
Some of them have, like, if it's not a formal coach, they have sort of a mentor that they bounce ideas off. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's definitely best practice. And I don't think it's well understood. And thinking about, and you said earlier, you have to take care of yourself as a person. And if you have that part, then you come in as, now I'm developing as a leader in my role, whatever that is. And then we're working with the team and to work together to that common team goal. I think that's fantastic. What's the most important thing you've learned since working with Ian, working with a business team coach, which is not necessarily a well-known thing? A lot of people just got, oh, there's executive coaches, there's CEO coaches, but there wasn't this business team coach. What's the most important thing you've learned since working with Ian?
Oh, every session we have with Ian, he teaches us something new. There's always like a new tool that he's seeing if it will work. I think I've seen the power of having like really strong quarterly priorities that people can rally around. And also Ian, I guess, has just opened up the conversation so that we can articulate and understand what we already knew the business was about.
Oh, I love how you just said that. Right. Because one of the things that, you know, I loved my own coach, you know, my own team coach back in the day doing, and now I get to do with other teams is like, the knowledge and experience around the table is so strong. It's just a matter of getting it aligned, right? And all the background, all the views in on the table to have that discussion so we can come out with the best strategy, debated, collaborated out the other side. But I always joke with my teams, it's not like they didn't know the answer. It was there. It was just a matter of how it got pulled out.
Yeah. So, and it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and not take the time to have the conversation.
So I like that you said that, because the cadence that we're running is ensuring that we at least get, you know, it's for sure we're going to have the cadence of daily, weekly, monthly, but that quarterly, whether do you do a one-day quarterly, a two-day quarterly, one-day quarterly? It's so impactful. It gives us a chance to step back, think, work on the business. And then, yeah, we got to get back into the business, but it gives us a chance. What is your favorite productivity hack? What's your favorite productivity hack? You got a lot of things going on.
I do. And it's time blocking. It's just going to be like set in my day. These are the times when I'm doing these things. And if it's not in that time, then you're not worrying about it. You know? Like it's... I'm not checking emails.
Yeah. Like,
and just being absolutely ruthless with it. So set at the start of the week.
Yes.
What are the top five things I need to get done this week? Like, let's block the time And then you've got to leave the time for the unexpected things. You can't think that you're going to have 100% of your calendar mapped out, but it's, I guess, just being really
probably the biggest mistake I always made, right? You know, I got to get this done, block it out. And then there's all those unexpected things, right? And then that's why we're doing it at night and in the morning. I love that. Okay, so good productivity hack, making the five priorities, blocking it in your calendar before the week starts with giving time for the unexpected. Excellent. What's the most, it doesn't have to be the most underrated tool, but what's a tool, a technology that's indispensable to you in your role?
Yeah, we had just started using Teams before COVID, and then now it's just, I think, entirely indispensable.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? And it's come so far. It's gotten better and better. Definitely has gotten better and better. If you had to give advice, and I'm going to make it into, if you had to give advice to someone who's succeeding, right, coming into a role, what's the thing that, you know, based on what you've learned thus far, what's the one piece of advice you'd give another leader who's succeeding, you know, basically their boss, their who they reported into, who was their mentor? What's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
Back yourself and read a lot. That's two pieces of advice.
What was the first one? Back yourself?
Back yourself. Yeah, absolutely. I think if the people that have seen you develop and know you think that you have the capabilities to fill a role that maybe you don't see in yourself, you have to, I guess, trust their judgment and back yourself. And then secondly, just read a lot. I think I spent, well, I still am, but there was a lot of crash learning and cramming. And yes. I think that put me in good stead.
What's one book you'd recommend to the audience, our listeners, and why?
I think I said at the start, the first 90 days was fantastic for me in that role.
Yes. Yeah. First 90 days. And that's like, that just gets you, you know, you get the plan out, you figure it out. It gets you in the right direction.
Yeah.
What's one question you wish I'd asked that I didn't? And how would you answer it?
Good question.
I know I didn't, I haven't really, I keep asking that question. I didn't prep anyone. So it's really just for listeners. It's always a gutted out answer.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think in terms of you've spoken about, you know, what advice would I give to people? What advice would I give to myself? I think I've been very fortunate in my role to be supported by a lot of fantastic people in terms of within my current leadership team, former bosses, mentors, coaches. You know, I think you've just got to surround yourself with people that can give you frank advice and
super good.
Tell you just to go ahead with it. I wasn't sure about doing this podcast because it's not really me, but Ian said, Joe, you know, you just got to push yourself out of your comfort zone and just do it. So I'm glad he did.
Me too. Right. I'm an introvert. I love doing this, by the way. I want to thank you. It's like so fascinating to learn. Like, congratulations. Like, I know new mom a couple of years ago, but it doesn't get old, right? It doesn't get old. And so new mom stepping into a role like this, the company's been around since 1996. You're pulled through the leadership through the pandemic. And so I just want to say congratulations and thank you for stepping out, because there's lots to learn, right?
Thank you.
From what you've experienced and what you've gone through. And I appreciate all the feedback. The best places people can find you online. What are the best places people can find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not very into self-promoting those. Pretty low profile.
Well, you know, we should always promote ourselves a little bit, right? So LinkedIn,
yes.
Right? Joanna Hanks is Resource Strategies. That's online, right?
Yeah.
Based in Brisbane, Australia. And I just want to say thank you so much. I so appreciated your feedback and insights. And I hope to meet you in person one day when I'm over there.
Yes. Next time you come to Australia, I'll try to swing down.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Thanks,
thank
Shannon.
You.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus-year-old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.